Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Tales of the Larians. It's been a while since we've had one of these out for you guys, but I am very excited. I'm Carl LeClaire. I'm with you for this episode of Tales of the Larians. This is episode number 11, and I'm happy to have with us from all the way across the pond, it's Bobby Gordon. Bobby, it's good to have you.
Thank you very much, Carl. It's good to be here, and I'm the kitster to your and Jason's Fode and Bead.
I love it.
Oh, I've been thinking about that for ages.
Well, you were saying right before we hopped on here that this is your first ever podcast, so I'm very honored that you're taking the time to do it with us.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor and a privilege, definitely.
Well, for those of you who may have forgotten what Tales of the Larians is, because it has been quite a while, unfortunately, since we've gotten to do one of these. Unfortunately for you, poor Bobby, like Jason was supposed to do this one with you, but you guys, I mean, you're over in England, Jason's all the way in Tucson, Arizona. I mean, figuring out a time to do that seemed, you know, it was just not happening. So I was like, you know what, Jason, it makes more sense. I'm on the East Coast, at least. That gives me at least a couple hours advantage. So really happy to have this set up with you. And we got some questions we're going to ask about you and your, you know, tales of Star Wars, if you will. And without further ado, I'm going to hop right into it if you're ready to go.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. So, Bobby, what's your favorite Star Wars movie and why?
It's The Caravan of Courage. No, I'm kidding. Do you know what? I think I may have watched... I'm sure I watched it when I was a kid, but I don't really remember a lot of it. I've forgotten it or I've blocked it. And then I watched it maybe last year, and like it was painful. It was so painful. And I've not watched the Battle for Endor either, so no. But no, I'd say my favorite, it's such a boring answer, but my favorite I'd say is It's a New Hope.
Okay.
And I love the retro vibe that it's got. It's slightly campy. And also what I like about it is that I don't believe George Lucas when he says that, you know, he wrote the three films and then like chopped it up and all of that. I'm sure that, you know, well, I'm sure that Star Wars probably was a lot bigger at the time and it got trimmed down. But what I like about when I watch it is that I can kind of view it as like a standalone almost. And I can use my imagination to think, you know, but like what would have happened afterwards, and you know, picturing events that, like, you know, like the Clone Wars and you know, the stealing of the Death Star plans and stuff. Although we've been told those stories, I like to imagine them as well. So yeah, I like that, and also I love the sort of the joyful, delightful vibe that it's got. Even though there's a lot of dark things that kind of happen in it, it's so upbeat. It's such like a romp. Do you know what I mean? And I really, really like that.
Yeah. No, that's a good point about, you know, I'm with you. I don't, you know, it's pretty, George Lucas is one of the most inconsistent people in the history of filmmaking. I mean, if you listen to an interview from the 70s or then the 80s, I mean, each decade he has kind of different responses. And I'm with you. I don't think, you know, when he wrote A New Hope, yes, I think he did have a grander story, but he really did whittle it down into one because he probably thought it wasn't going to work, as we all know. But I'm curious, were you alive when A New Hope came out in theaters, or?
No, I'm 36. So, I was born in 1981. And so I didn't see any of the first, Star Wars films I saw in the theaters was the special editions.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So, well, then that leads me to, how were you introduced to Star Wars?
My earliest, I do remember seeing A New Hope in the early 80s. It was probably around about 1985, so I was four. And I remember we lived in a house, I used to live on an island called the Isle of Wight. And I remember we rented... Well, I don't remember the particulars of it. All I remember is I definitely remember seeing Captain Antilles being held up by Darth Vader. I definitely remember that. And I definitely remember C-3PO in the desert. And I remember us laughing when the sand, the speeder comes past, and you can see, I mean, it looks totally different now, but like when you saw it in the '80s, like underneath the speeder where they had kind of like rendered out the wheels, like it just looks so fake. Do you know what I mean? Like they must have like drawn it on or something. I don't know how they've done it, but I remember us laughing at that. And the only line of dialogue that I can remember. And we only saw this one time. We must have hired. I think we hired it out as a Betamax. That's what my brother told me, like years later. But I do. I definitely remember Han Solo saying, "We've been locked on by a tractor beam, and we're being pulled in." And I don't know why I can remember that line, but that's probably one of the only things I remember. And then, do you know what? I then just totally forgot about it. I must have been, like I said, I must have been four, so it maybe wasn't really in my wheelhouse of like stuff that I liked at the time. So then when I was growing up, we had the Ewoks cartoons and the Droids cartoons, which was in the mid-80s, so I remember that. But like, if you were to ask me what, like, and I only remember these things now because, like, as a Star Wars fan, like, I've replayed these things in my memory over and over and over, and they've become more ingrained. So really, my clearest early memory of when I know that I first saw a Star Wars film, it was The Empire Strikes Back, and I was 7 years old, and it was when it first came on the television at Christmas. And I remember we had a family meal, and then like suddenly we were like, "Oh no, Star Wars is on!" And then we got up and we put our VHS in the player and we started to record it, and we missed like the first like 2 or 3 minutes. And so when we played it back, it started from the scene where I don't know if it's the probe that he sees and like it smashes into the snow and you get the big cloud, or if it was a meteorite. Anyway, that's where it started. And so now even when I watch the film, I go, "Oh, this is when our video started." So, so yeah. So really, I feel like my first proper memory of it was Empire Strikes Back. Okay. When I was seven.
Okay. Yeah, that was the first movie I saw as well. And it's surprising me because I'm 32, so I'm right around your age. Obviously, didn't see any of them in the theaters. But yeah, a lot of folks, it feels like in our bracket, our age bracket, Empire was their first experience of Star Wars. Now, was someone in particular, like in your family, that was like, "Oh, you've got to see this Star Wars thing," or was it just something you'd heard about?
Yeah, I think because I've got a brother that's 10 years older than me, and he was definitely into it when he was at school. So obviously he grew up in the 70s, so he would have been six when A New Hope came out. So yeah, I mean, he was probably. But the thing, do you know what the thing was, is that when we recorded Empire Strikes Back, and then. Return of the Jedi was a year later and we recorded that. So I had to wait a year to see that. And then around about, I think A New Hope replayed that year. But he never said, "Oh, we should record A New Hope." So that's really odd. So I never got to see A New Hope until when it was released, the digitally remastered VHS, which came out in about 94. So I was 13 years when that came out. And I remember watching that and I was like, "This is so weird." Like, you know, growing up with having Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, recorded. And then you go back and you watch and you're hoping, it's like, why is this old guy? Why is Tarkin like bossing Darth Vader about on, you know, so strange. Yeah. Yeah. When you go back. But it's, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, that is. Oh man, it's such a similar experience. I didn't see A New Hope for probably about 2 years into my Star Wars fandom, and I never felt like I was missing anything. And even when I saw A New Hope, I was like, "Yeah, it was fine." But that was the one I would very rarely rewatch. I mean, I watched Empire and Jedi on loop for years, and occasionally threw in A New Hope. And it wasn't because I didn't like it; I just thought the other two were so much better. But what an interesting point, like to be able to be like, "Why is this old guy bossing Darth Vader around?" Right, especially after you see what he does in Empire. You know, to be bossed around by Tarkin, you're like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and like some of the Imperials, like seeing like Colonel Yularen with like a white uniform, and then like other Imperials with like black uniforms. I was like, that's weird. That's new. And like obviously the hairstyles, a lot more 70s in that film than the fashions as well seem, you know, the costumes seem a little bit different, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just got such a different vibe. It's really weird going to it. Yeah.
Cool. Anyway. Well, tell me who your favorite Star Wars character is and why.
Okay, I got some honorable mentions.
Okay. We do this to ourselves here.
I'm going to mention Ahsoka as one of them because I think that she is such a well-rounded character, and she's so much cooler than, I mean, like, I like Ezra, but Ahsoka had an annoying phase for maybe two or three episodes, whereas Ezra is annoying for three seasons, and I really hope that he matures going forward. But I'd say, yeah, Ahsoka is a brilliant character, and I'll come on to her a bit more. My second honorable mention is Vader. Mm. And I just remember as a kid seeing him, I would get such a thrill when he would come onto screen, because he probably was scary. I'm not scared of him anymore. But he's got the most amazing costume, I think. And it's just a perfect storm with obviously Dave Prowse's physique and James Earl Jones's voice and the Ralph McQuarrie design. He's just such a cool character. Do you know what I mean? I love Vader. But I do think that he's an honourable mention. I'd say that, but my number one favourite character, and it's boring, is Han Solo.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. What is funny though is that as much as I like Han Solo, I've never asked for a Han Solo film. I mean, I'll go see it, and I'm sure that I will like it. But I'm more excited to find out what happens with Ahsoka than what happened with Han Solo. Because to me, Han Solo's got his story's got a beginning and a middle and an end. I know that's not his whole story, but that's the important stuff. And then obviously he's got I feel like he's got an epilogue with The Force Awakens.
Yeah. What is it about Han? Because I'm with you, man, and Han's always been my favorite. And it's sometimes hard to describe why something is your favorite. It's easy to like a character like Ahsoka, right? Like you mentioned how well-rounded she is, and we really see that. We really see her character mature. I mean, I know for me, when the first few seasons of Clone Wars, I kind of couldn't stand Ahsoka. But by the end, right, by the time we got towards the end of that series, it's like, oh my gosh, this is as an iconic of a character as, Anakin Skywalker, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Yoda. Like, she's right up there with the pantheon of great Star Wars characters. Vader is easy to describe, but what is it about Han do you think that you really attach yourself to?
I think a lot of it comes down to Harrison Ford's performance. I think that Harrison Ford is such a cool dude anyway, especially what he was like back in the 70s and the 80s. I don't know. I like him because he's an everyman. He's like a point of view character, and I can relate to him, whereas I can't really relate to Luke Skywalker as much or Princess Leia as much, because I'm not a princess and I never grew up on a farm. But I don't know. He's just, I love his swagger. He's like a cowboy. Not that I can relate to being a cowboy either, but I don't know. He's just so flipping cool. I think that's all it comes down to.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's kind of always how I say it too. Yeah, he's just so great. And now, was he your favorite when you were young all the way up till now, or has there ever been a change?
Yeah, I'd say probably Vader was my favorite character when I was a kid. Yeah, I think it's just probably as I've matured that I've started to appreciate Han Solo more.
Sure. Yeah. And they did, Force Awakens really did a lot to I like how you put it, though. It is kind of an epilogue of his character, because there's not a ton of new stuff that we learn about Han. I mean, yes, we learn he has a kid, and we do learn some new things, but his character isn't dramatically different from what we saw in the original trilogy. At least I wouldn't say so. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I suppose so. It does seem a little bit more of a caricature of him, though, I would say.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know. I didn't need to have Han Solo in the sequel trilogy. I was happy with his character as it was. I do appreciate it, and I think, you know, like, what's the writer that was on The Force Awakens? That,
Lawrence Kasdan?
No, the one before Lawrence Kasdan. Oh, Michael Arndt.
Yeah, Michael Arndt.
And he said that whenever you had Luke Skywalker come into it, it would take over the whole film. Mm-hmm. So I think it was good that they've moved Luke to the second film, and that the first one was Han's film.
Sure.
So I can see that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I did enjoy it. But to me, the first act, right up until they meet Han and Chewie, that is a perfect first act. I loved it. And Han didn't ruin it for me, but it just the movie took on a different tone, and I kind of feel as though those characters, the new characters, they could have stood on their own right up until the very end.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer about it.
No, not at all. Yeah. I don't think you're saying anything that's not unfamiliar to a lot of folks' experience of that movie. But let's go to something kind of fun here. So tell me about your favorite way to play Star Wars when you were a kid.
Well, growing up in the 80s, I don't really remember Star Wars toys being in the shops, but where they were everywhere was on the playgrounds. And so my brother really had the toys more than I did. And we kind of like just shared everything. And you could always go to, we don't really have garage sales, but we do have car boot sales, which is kind of this, you know, like you drive to like a car park and open up your car boot, and then you set a table out and have, you know, all your stuff out for sale that you would, you know, that you're trying to get rid of. So you could always find action figures in that at the car boot sale. So we used to have quite a few of those. So that would be like my small Star Wars, you know. Kind of big Star Wars would be like just like playing with sticks, like hitting each other with them. just trying to think. I do remember one day when my brother was ill and off school. I remember our next door neighbor coming around, and this was before I'd seen A New Hope. And he says, "Oh, give this to your brother." And he gave him an action figure, and it was of Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I was like, "Who's this?" And like, I'd seen Empire, and I just didn't know who he was. And my brother was like, "Oh, what did he give me?" And I said, "Oh, he's given you a character called Only One Bogey." Somehow I got his name in telling, because I only knew him as Ben from Empire Strikes Back, because sure. I'm sure that he doesn't call him Obi-Wan in that.
The only time Luke calls him Obi-Wan is in Return of the Jedi, after Yoda passes on, and he, you know, Yoda, and he says, you know, Yoda will always be with you, and then he goes Obi-Wan.
That's
the only time he calls him Obi-Wan.
But I mean, we had Lego, and we didn't have Star Wars Lego back then, but I do remember us playing Star Wars type sort of games with Lego. Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I remember, I mean, much later when I was a teenager, my brother had a Sega 32X, and that had like the Star Wars arcade game with it. I remember playing that over and over again. That was probably like one of the first proper Star Wars video games that you could buy.
Nice. And when you played Star Wars when you were younger, did you play with friends, family? Did you play by yourself? All of the above?
Yeah, so I'd say a lot of it was by myself or with my brother. Yeah.
Okay. And did you guys like reenact scenes? Did you kind of create your own stories? Because I liked how you said earlier, you know, like that A New Hope, part of the reason it's your favorite movie is like it, and you're not wrong, I would say, is that it certainly is in a way its own standalone film. And how cool that you could, you know, you would like to imagine what happened next.
Yeah. When we were playing, a lot of it was our own stuff, just like random, silly little things. Yeah.
Cool. Well, tell me how you play Star Wars now. What do you do now to keep that kind of like childish Star Wars fan still alive within Mr. Gordon?
Well, I don't play. I mean, my wife would disagree with that, but I never really sit down and, like, you know, would have like two figures and like pew, 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 pew. I wouldn't really do that, but I definitely collect Star Wars Lego, because that was something that we never had, and Lego was always my favorite toy when I was young. And then, like, when they started bringing out Star Wars sets in, was it 99 probably, I was like, oh man, I wish that we had had that when I was younger. So then when I got a bit older and started to have a little bit of a disposable income, I started collecting it, and oh, I love Star Wars Lego. And it's funny, because I'm not really all that keen on the Star Wars Lego animations, because I'm not really a big fan of like parodies and stuff. Okay, anyway, sure. But I do like the Freemaker Adventures.
Okay. I've never seen them, and I know some people are going to be like, what? But yeah, I've never seen them.
I mean, I think season two started, I've not seen any of season two yet, but like, I'm not dying to see them, but I'd say that they're better than any of the previous ones of them, because they seem to be taking it a little bit more seriously. I mean, they're still funny. There's a Hutt character, and he is hilarious. I can't remember his name now. Is it Gracchus the Hutt, or is he from the comics? I can't remember.
Unfortunately, I can't help you on that at all.
So yeah, Star Wars Lego, I do like collecting that and building it and taking them apart and then building them again. And also, I like taking photos of them and like doing like silly little jokes and stuff. So I've got an Instagram account that I do a few of those. That's pretty good.
Oh, cool. That's
yeah, really cool. And I like it's not really playing, but I do like keeping up with the with like all the new novels and the comics and that are coming out, keeping up with new characters. It's not really playing, but I do like doing that. And I like cosplaying as well, but I like to just do that occasionally. I don't want to like start trooping and like doing that every weekend or that. I just like to like maybe like when the new films come out, like go and wear something at the cinema.
Sure.
For that sort of thing. So that's kind of big Star Wars, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like when I say how do you play Star Wars now, obviously, yeah, I don't mean are you rolling around on your floor with your action figure still. I mean, probably not. I mean, I don't do that either. And maybe some folks our age do, and good for you. I don't have that type of imagination anymore. But I think we still find ways to play Star Wars. And I think because right when we were kids and we played Star Wars, it was about being creative. It was about coming up with stories. And right, like it really like tapped that creative gene that we all have. And I think as adult Star Wars fans, it still does that. I mean, that's so cool that you build these Legos and then you set up these, you know, parody shots, or, you know, you do these fun photos with them. I mean, that in and of itself is creative. And I think Star Wars still speaks to us as adults. Yeah. And how do we be creative? I mean, I love to talk. That's why I do a Star Wars podcast. That's how I play Star Wars. You know, I mean, the Legos are great. I'm so bad at building Legos. The only thing I ever bought was the land speeder from A New Hope, that set, which probably takes a normal person, you know, probably would have taken them 20 minutes to a half hour to put it together. It took me a whole afternoon. I'm really bad at it.
Are you bad with instructions?
Awful with instructions. I mean, I order a piece of furniture from IKEA and I don't know what to do. So, but, no, that's really cool. And do you stay pretty, like, do you purposely try to get all the Legos that come out, or do you select what you're
going to
get?
Not all of them, sure. Because I'd have to take out a mortgage, sure, if I wanted to get all of them. So I stick to original trilogy, okay, sets, and they tend to re-release a lot of sets, you know. So like there's a skiff, well, one of the desert skiffs that has, I've already got it, but then like they've re-released it this year, and they're probably on like the third or the fourth or the fifth version of it. So like I'll get it just like one time, and then like, yeah.
Yeah. Don't forget to get your new R2-D2, this time with periscope lens. It's like,
yeah, exactly.
It's the same, yeah. R2. You know, I mean, if you're a huge R2 fan, you're going to buy every single one, but right, for the average collector, it's like, I've got an R2, I'm all set, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, no, I love my Star Wars Lego, definitely.
Awesome. So our next question is what's your favorite lightsaber duel and why?
Honorable mention.
Okay.
pre-Vizsla versus Darth Maul.
Oh, awesome.
Such a cool lightsaber duel. And I love even the end of it after he's killed pre-Vizsla, and then like you got the Bo-Katan and her Mandalorians, and then like they, it just like erupts into like a huge gunfight, and then they fly out of there. Oh, it's just so freaking cool.
Oh, that is such a good fight. You're right.
Yeah. But my favorite duel from the movies is Luke versus Vader in The Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
I love the set piece. I love how atmospheric it is and how it kind of looks like hell. Mm. I love the ambient sounds of like the machinery and that's in there. And there's no music for the first part. It's just those sounds, and then obviously Vader breathing, and then just like the lightsabers humming. Oh, so good. And I love like even I think it's probably like one of the most intense fights, I'd say, because it's such a personal fight. Even before you know, obviously, you know what it's all about. Like Luke is like covered with sweat, and like his face gets all grazed, and then he loses his hands, and that it's the perfect lightsaber fight, I'd say.
Yeah. Wow. Those. You're making me really want to watch that fight right now. Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, you're right. It is so I'm sure you know this. And if you don't, I don't mean to sound like pretentious here, but John Williams did score music for the whole duel.
He did. Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, I mean, if you have that special edition Empire Strikes Back soundtrack on disc two, I think it's called like Carbon Freeze Fight or something like that, or Clash of Lightsabers, something like that.
Yeah.
But if you put it at the top, and again, that's something David Collins has gone back and put in and done, you know, at celebration events as he showed it. And all the music they pulled out of Empire Strikes Back was a perfect choice to not put it there. And this is another mm-hmm. perfect example of that, because you're right. Like the ambient sounds in the carbonite chamber are so cool, and they make it feel so much more chilling and scary than the music could.
Mm, definitely.
So, and yeah, I mean, a lot of folks have on the tales in the past have picked Luke and Vader and Jedi because of kind of the emotional weight of that. But you're really right. I mean, this one is just as emotionally heavy, a little bit in a different vein, but it's much more prolonged.
Yeah.
And the consequences are a lot more clear physically, right? Like Luke really gets beat up here in a way that no one else does in duels. Sorry,
I think though if you do a marathon like from Phantom Menace right up until Return of the Jedi, though, that final duel is amazing.
Yeah, it really is,
because of the weight of, you know, and what happens, and seeing Luke, you know, throw his lightsaber away, it sends chills up my spine. Even just thinking about it, it does that.
Sure. Yeah. So. You know, you are taking the time tonight to do your first ever podcast, and you specifically picked a Star Wars podcast to premiere your voice on. Tell me what Star Wars has brought to your life.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story.
Awesome.
In 2005, when Revenge of the Sith came out, I lived in New Zealand, and I did a sabbatical over there. And they've got a big box shop called The Warehouse. And I was walking through the toy aisle, and obviously the Star Wars toys had just been released, and I saw a Darth Vader helmet with a voice changer, and I was like, that is the coolest thing I have ever seen. And it wasn't horrendously expensive or anything, but I was like, oh, I, you know, should I buy this, shouldn't I? And I was like, do you know what, little did I know, this is going to be like the last Star Wars film to ever come out in the theaters. I was like, I'm going to buy this, and I'm going to make myself a costume. And so I did. And I did a fair job of it. It was okay. It wasn't really that screen accurate, but it was enough that, you know, you knew what it was. And I wore it to the cinema, and there was a few people that were in costume, and it turned a few heads. It was good. And then the other reason why I bought it was why I bought it and why I made the costume was because I knew that I was going to be coming back home to England. So But I didn't tell my friends and family that I was coming back. So I bought the Darth Vader costume back with me, and I'd arranged for one of my friends to arrange a meal with everyone else. And it was shortly after Revenge of the Sith had come out, and my sister, she worked, I mean, my immediate family knew, well, I surprised them, like, obviously on the first day. And my sister, she worked in a mobile phone shop at the time, and she, and they had like these like leaflets that were promoting, you know, the mobile phone network Orange. And they had like Darth Vader on the front of that. So I was like, right, if I get these, I can make it look like I'm just like some guy that's promoting something. So I arranged for all my friends to come to this restaurant. And then I was walking up and down outside giving out these leaflets. And then like when they'd all come down and they're all sat down inside the restaurant, then I came in and then my friend was like, this is the real reason why I've brought you in. And I took my helmet off and it was brilliant. It was such a good moment.
That's awesome.
This is a long story. So then like that was 2005. And then when the Clone Wars, when the Clone Wars movie came out in 2008, I was like, right, I'm going to remake my Vader costume and I'm going to make it screen accurate. And I spent ages on it and I bought a sewing machine because before I just borrowed one off of someone. And like I did as best a job as I possibly could. And I really, really enjoyed doing that. And then afterwards, I was like, oh, what should I do now? And I was like, do you know what? I actually quite enjoyed sewing, and I was like, I'm not really doing anything else. So I had like a shirt that fitted me like quite well, and like I couldn't find another one like it. So I decided to unpick it and then copy it. And I was like, wow, I'm really getting into like this sort of tailoring thing. So then when I got married in 2012, my wife is Scottish and I've moved up to Scotland now. So I knew that I wanted to wear a kilt for the wedding. And so, but I couldn't hire the tartan that I wanted. So I thought, well, how much would it be just to buy the tartan? And like, can I maybe get a book on how to do it? And so I made my kilt for my wedding and I really enjoyed doing that. So I'd say that Star Wars has given me like tailoring skills of all things. I'd never would have thought that I would have gotten, and found that it's something that I like, I really enjoy. And like now, I've got my own small business making kilts that I do like in the evenings and on the weekends and stuff. And I never would have discovered that if it hadn't have been for Star Wars.
That is the coolest response I've ever heard to that question.
No.
Not putting down anyone else. But that is so unique. You know, I mean, I just love listening to that story, right? Like the level of investment, and this is just a reminder to all of us who are Star Wars fans, the level of investment that Star Wars fans take into their love for Star Wars, that, you know, you took all this time to make a costume and then you said, you know what, well, I want to make it even more screen accurate. So you invest in a sewing machine, you invest in learning how to do these things, and then it opens up this other world to you. And that's just so cool. I mean, I think that's the gift of Star Wars, is the way Definitely. It just broadens who we are and what we're capable of. I mean, you're like Luke on Dagobah, man. He didn't think he could lift that X-wing, but he learned. but he learned by Return of the Jedi how to build a lightsaber. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's awesome. Tell me, kind of switching gears a little bit now. Tell me what your favorite piece of Star Wars music is.
Honorable mention.
Awesome.
it's a total cheat because there's no one version of it I can pin down and say is my favorite, but I'd say that the Force theme is just a beautiful piece of music. And I love how versatile it is, because like with all of the marketing and that they've done, whenever there's been like a new trailer, they use the Force theme, and like sometimes it can be like triumphant, sometimes it can be militaristic, sometimes it can be kind of a bit ambiguous. It's just such a cool piece of music, I think.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's the most pinnacle Star Wars piece besides, pop culture, yes, it's the main theme in Darth Vader's March, but when it comes to in-universe Star Wars, the most recognizably reused theme is the Force theme.
Yeah, yeah. But my favorite piece of music, it's a bit quirky. It's the Cantina Band.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. There's just something about that music. Whenever it comes on, it just brings the biggest grin to my face. And it's my mobile phone ringtone. And like, if ever people don't know me and suddenly my phone rings, they all like, oh, how cool is that? Yeah.
And you're talking the first one, like when they walk into the cantina, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 And you know, the funny thing is that during the daytime, I'm a gardener. And when you and Jason did your second act episode for A New Hope, you opened up with the Cantina Band. And I was actually hedge cutting at the time. And I was like, oh, I love this. And I started dancing about. And I actually fell off my ladder because I was dancing so much.
I thought you were going to say you inadvertently weed whacked into your bush figuring band. You got a bith for a bush now.
That would be so cool.
Oh, that's funny, but also kind of terrifying because you got some sharp utensils there.
No, luckily I've still got all my digits in place.
So okay, good. Fine, yeah. our first casualty of the Wampa's Lair. that's great. Yeah, it's such a fun like bopping piece. I love the Cantina Band. Love the source music in Star Wars is so good. Even Jedi Rocks, as much as I don't like it in the movie, I still like the piece of music kind of on its own. I think it's weird in the movie, but there's so much good source music that you hear in Star Wars, which is really great.
Mm-hmm. Do you like Lapti Nek?
I love Lapti Nek. What about you?
Which do you prefer, that or Jedi Rocks?
Oh, definitely Lapti Nek.
Yeah.
By leaps and bounds. Again, I just think Jedi Rocks is so... not only is it like a weird piece for Jabba the Hutt to enjoy, but... also, when you consider all the other source music that's playing in the background during so many of the scenes, it sounds nothing like Jedi Rocks.
I know.
I mean, Jedi Rocks, to me, it's like pop music and makes no sense because I've always seen Jabba the Hutt is like he's the Godfather or like Tony Soprano. And what kind of music do they listen to? They listen to like smooth jazz or like, you know, kind of like crooners like Frank Sinatra. They don't listen to Backstreet Boys. You know, like that's what Jedi Rocks is to me. And I'm not knocking it. I love Backstreet Boys and I love Jedi Rocks, but I don't think Jabba would. That's the difference.
I do like Jabba Flow as well. I think that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, that is good. That is a good one.
Yeah. I love the version that Riley Blanton plays on his podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He does is it like an 8-bit version? That's
I
really
think
cool.
It is. Yeah, yeah. I don't know where people get those things. I always feel so behind. There's so many other Star Wars podcasts where they have these really cool intro songs that aren't clearly like they're derivatives of the Star Wars music, but we go with classic stuff because it's all we know how to do. So
I think Star Wars music really lends itself to 8-bit music. Like I love the intro theme for Full of Sith as well.
Yeah, I do too. They have a great intro.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're down to our last question here, Bobby, and it's kind of my like catch-all question. So in case we missed anything and there's something else you just need to say about your love for Star Wars and your tale of Star Wars is what do you love most about Star Wars?
Well, I'd say, I love a lot of science fiction and I kind of feel as though I came to Star Wars like the long way around. Like I always liked it when I was younger, but then like, obviously, like I grew up in the dark times, so like we had like for me it was the first two movies, the second and third movie. But then after that, I got really heavily into Star Trek, and Star Trek: The Next Generation. And like as much as I like Star Trek, it's got a real humanist feel to it, which is okay, and it's intellectual as well. But what I love about Star Wars is that it's got a real spiritual kind of undercurrent to it, and also it's like a modern myth for our era as well. And I don't think Star Trek has that, and I think because personally, you know, like I'm a Christian and I believe that that we've been like designed to have like a spiritual need, and so when something like Star Wars touches on that, it really resonates with me.
Sure. Yeah. Man, you just captured everything that I was thinking about that question. and if you think about, to me, the ultimate difference between Star Wars and Star Trek is Star Wars to me is space fantasy. It's not really science fiction. Whereas Star Trek is, it's there's this humanist quality, like we as sentient creatures, because you can't just say humans, but you know, sentient beings can determine the fate of the universe. Like us working together can make a prosperous place. While that's good and all, I'm with you. I mean, as a person who comes into life with a faith conviction, what I prefer about Star Wars is while that's still part of the Star Wars story, there's this underlying current of spirituality and mysticism that ties everything together. And I really love that. And even if you aren't a religious person, the fact that Star Wars is just a modern myth, there's something that all human beings crave about myths that Star Wars really sinks its teeth into in a way that a lot of science fiction kind of doesn't, because they're concerned with different questions. Whereas I think mythology is concerned with questions of human existence and the human experience in a more broad way. Which is probably why Star Wars attracts such a myriad group of people.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Well,
and also I would say probably just the, because Star Wars, it gathers together the best artists as well. And just like, you know, like from Ralph McQuarrie's concepts and Joe Johnson's designs as well. And it's just so frigging cool.
I'd disagree if I could. But I don't want to. So, well, is there anything else that you want to share or anything we might have missed on that you want to bring out about your tale before we wrap this up?
I think podcasting is a big part of my tale. I mean, this is the first podcast I've ever been on, but I've been listening to podcasts for probably about 2.5 years. And when I was a little bit younger, and like around about the time that the prequels were coming out, I'd want to talk about them, and like my friends were into Star Wars as well, but like they were gatekeepers, and like they'd be like, "Oh, Bobby, you know, stop talking about that. You know, you don't know what you're talking about, or that." And I never really have had people that I can talk with or listen to that would go into as much depth that I feel like I feel like I need. So that, I think that's the great thing about Star Wars podcasts, is that you can go as deep as you want to. And that's why I love listening to The Wampa's Lair, and I love listening to Full of Sith. And there's a great podcast, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, called Star Wars 7x7. And it's like it's a 7-minute podcast, and it's every day. And that is brilliant. I really enjoy listening to that as well. So it's cause like where I live now up in Scotland, the town that I live in is a little bit remote. So, and obviously I've only lived up here for about 4 or 5 years. So I don't have like a huge group of friends. Mm-hmm. And like people say that they like Star Wars, but then like they never really talk about it. So it's really good that, you know, I've got that I can listen to. And like, I listen to, cause I work as a gardener, I've always got my headphones in and I'm always listening to something. And, I really, really appreciate the work that, know the whole podcasting community does, because it's helped escalate my fandom so much, and I've learned so much. I've like, I never really read any of the novels until I'd say, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and it's become so much richer, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Wow, you did a great job of articulating that, like what podcasting does for Star Wars, and I agree 100%. Right, like it does. For folks like you, and even really myself, I still don't have like a huge Star Wars community here in Boston. I finally have a small group of friends who are ardent fans like me, but it took me, I mean, I've been out here 9 years, and it took me 8 years to find that. But before that, I mean, I always have Jason, and then I've got, you know, such a huge community of friends because of the Star Wars Podcasting Network. And whether you're a host or not, I don't think matters, because so many of those pages invite, you know, listeners to write in. They invite listeners to have discussions on their own, you know, social media pages. So it inherently creates community, which I think is such a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for ending this on such a golden nugget. That was great. Before we wrap this up for good, well, first off, I probably should have asked you this while we weren't recording, but if folks want to look at some of the pictures that you do of your Star Wars Legos, are you happy to share that with other people, or is that more okay?
You can find me on Instagram at Lego Bobby Fett, which is all one word. You can also find me on Twitter. I don't really use Twitter very much, but I am on there at Bobby R. Gordon. And you can usually find me as well lurking around in the Facebook comments on the Wampus Lair page as well.
Always a great place to be. Well, Bobby, thank you so much for being on this episode of Tales of the Larians. If you would like to be on this segment of the Wampus Lair, be sure to shoot us an email at wampuslairpodcast@gmail.com. Just shoot us your name and we will get you on the queue. It is a bit of a backup now because it's been a while since we've done it, but we are back at them now. So if you'd like to be in the queue, just shoot us an email and we'll get you on there. Bobby, thank you so much for coming on to this episode.
No problem. No problem. Great outro. Luckily, I'm not operating any sharp machinery at the moment, so I can dance around safely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Bobby. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode of Tales of the Larians. I'm Carl. For Bobby, we will see you next time here in the Wampus Lair.